chapter was comparing with angel, and then chapter 2 was talking about Jesus' incarnation, you know, actually becoming a servant. And then at the end of chapter 2, he was talking to us as he was a high priest. And then chapter 3, he went back to compare Jesus this time with somebody very important to the people, the Jewish people. That was Moses. So if you look at chapter 3, you will see that the author is starting to compare two of them and say what both of them were found faithful. But Jesus was far more better. And then he used a house and a builder to do a comparison. So can you show the PowerPoint? And if you look at the house, this is a beautiful house, a very, I assume, a very expensive house. Depends where you find it. Maybe in Vancouver, it's beyond every one of us, maybe. Edmonton, maybe some of you already live in this kind of house, right? I don't know. So, well, Toronto, I think we cannot afford it anyway. So if you look at this, it will say, wow, this is a beautiful house. And, and this is another one. So if you look at them, people really want to buy them. Maybe this is your dream house or something like that. But how many of you will actually ask, who are the builders? You might know the company name, but you won't care about who actually built the house for you, right? You see the product. You are buying the product. You look at it. Somebody is laughing, smiling because they are thinking of buying houses nowadays. So if you look at it, this is a huge, big house, and you don't care who built it because you don't even know them, but you really care the craftsmanship, what kind of stuff they put it in that house. And then but at the same time, you know somebody built this house for sure. But if you look at this, and this again, and a few more, one more, last one, and I just wonder why, how come us humans refuse to believe somebody create all these wonderful stars. But we do believe the house was built by somebody. So the author was comparing Jesus and Moses. One is the build, they both found were faithful. But what was the difference? So he said that the builder actually was God. And how many of us actually care about who built the house? That is the problem. Even someday, today, we have a tendency to look at the product or the services, the blessings of God, instead of paying attention to God himself. So I think it's a very good point he's using this. And then he said that Moses was just a servant of this house. And Jesus was the master, even though they were all both faithful. But one is the master of the house, one is just a servant of the house. So if you look at this, you will see the first verse. Let's look at the first verse. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, an apostle and high priest whom we confess. You see, the author, the first verse, he said he and Jesus was embodiment of both apostle and the high priest. That's very important because apostle, the Christians understand that word, meaning somebody was being sent. And then if you look at the Old Testament, when we're talking about Moses, Moses was also being sent to rescue the nation of Israel. So he was talking about Jesus taking on these two roles on himself. Moses was being sent to save the people. And then Aaron was the high priest. Now, both roles came upon our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why he was much better than Moses. Moses was only being sent one, but not the high priest. But now Jesus taking on two roles, and he implying that Jesus was very important. You see, the roles that Jesus took on, actually, the author was trying to imply his more important role, because the being sent one, meaning that he was representing God, talking to man. And the high priest, what does high priest do? The high priest bringing people to God. So Jesus standing in the middle between God and man, and he is serving both roles. So what does it mean? What does it tell you? He is more like a mediator. That's why he became more important. So if you continue to read this, you will see that Moses, and then Arthur was using a very important phrase to describe him. And he was talking to that and saying that Moses was faithful in all his house. As a Jewish, when you read that, you automatically remember where this comes from, this phrase. Moses was faithful in all his house. If you look at the scriptures, do you know where it comes from? Turn to Numbers, because now we're going to turn to Numbers, because this is the story I want to share with you. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 12, because you have to pretend you are a Jewish reader. When you are reading this scripture, the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, when it comes to chapter 3 here, and when you see this phrase, your brain should tells you to lead you to go to Numbers, because this is where that phrase first came. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Let's spend some time on this story, because this is the key for the comparison. And how do we find Moses faithful in all his household? So as a Jewish guy, women, you will look back and read that story. And then you will understand the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, right here. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. You see, at this passage, there was a challenge. A challenge came to challenge Moses' leadership. Both of them were very close to Moses, a brother and a sister. After Moses' first wife died, and then he married to somebody, and then right away, the sister and Aaron came up to him, or to all the people, challenging him his leadership. You see, the scripture seems to tell us that something goes wrong, and there's a tension actually behind the scene, who should be leading the people into the promised land. At this stage, we need to understand the background a little bit here. If you look at the challenge, look at the order of the names. Actually, the sister was named first, and then Aaron. And at the end, she was the one, only one being punished. So we know that she was the one leading the rebellion, so-called, challenging Moses. And the question you may ask, why? Why all of a sudden the sister came up and challenged leadership, Moses' leadership? You see, if you look at Exodus chapter 15, you don't have to. Exodus chapter 15, verses 20 to 21. The scripture describes Miriam as the prophetess. She was a prophetess speaking on behalf of God. So, you see, she thought that God also speak to me and speak through me. So, how come Aaron was the only one taking on the sole only leadership, leading the people? So the challenge came as a question. You know, you love those questions, because this is how Genesis chapter 3, the shepherd, the snake, came and questioned and Eve about God. He always came like a question, not a statement, but a question. It built in some doubt in your heart. So that was the statement she used. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Verse 2. They ask, hasn't he also spoken through us? Especially Miriam and Aaron. I think they were talking about this. So that was the challenge. And if you look at this, you ask the timing. I think the rebellious spirit came, but they find a good time. Some people ask, why after Moses married? I checked some books because I was curious too. What in the world, why this time, not earlier or later? How come it was happening after Moses remarried again? And some scholars believe that because Miriam actually thought that she could replace the influence, not marriage, okay? So she could replace Moses' first wife and then become the second in command in the whole nation. But for some reason, Moses married again. That means she knew that she won't be able to compete with somebody sleeping beside Moses. So she was not getting the influence that she was hoping for, and then she got very upset. So she thought, this is the time I need to really stand up and try to get something. And it was also the time just before they starting to enter, ready to enter the promised land. You know, the first stage, it was very tough, coming out from Egypt and staying in the wilderness for so long. Now, we are about to go into the promised land, not the 40 years, that was after, but they were about to get into the promised land. They were about to send the spies to the promised land. So the journey to them was almost done. So they rebelled at the time that, you know, we are getting into the promised land. Let's see who can be the next senior pastor. No, I'm just kidding. Just before enter the promised land, and Moses was married, and then that was the perfect time for him, for her to challenge Moses. You see, she didn't pick the time like just coming out from Egypt. I want to help you to imagine the situation, the journey. Let's use Vancouver, okay? Vancouver is something like Egypt. You know why? When Joseph received the family, Pharaoh actually gave them the best land. They were near the ocean. They can fish all they want. They can do a lot of, you know, planting vegetables, all these things in Egypt, near the river Nile. They literally just live very similar to Vancouver. How many of you have not been in Vancouver? So you have no idea what I was talking about. So you've been in Vancouver, you know, you really enjoy the ocean, smell of the salty water, you know, look at the mountains with little bit snow, almost no snow, and then you say, oh, this is heaven. Well, a lot of people say that. But they have to leave. Do you know where the promised land will be? I was going to say Edmonton, but that would be insulting. Let's try Calgary. Okay, Calgary is the promised land. So they are leaving Vancouver. So they have no more fish to eat. And they are going up to the mountain, you know, the highway number one, not even the Coquihalla Highway or something. Have you watched the show Highway Through Hell? You know, they were going up to the highway number one in the winter time. How do you like that? Just a comparison. So nobody challenged Moses because those were the tough time. And then they challenge him when they are going to the good time. We always do that for some reason. This is human nature. So they challenge Moses. And at this time, God said, come, standing in front of me, and God was going to say something. And that was what he said. Moses was faithful in all my household. And that was the description God rated his servant. So if you look at this, you will see that there are three possible charges in this statement, actually. Scholars believe that behind the questions, these could be the charges against Moses or even God. The first one, did God only speak to Moses from the questions? Second possibility was Moses was becoming, you know, prideful, he was arrogant, you know. How come he's becoming the only one? So I'm sure he's getting to be very arrogant, you know. dominant or that type of thing. Third, since God has also spoken to others, not just Moses, why would only Moses have such a power in leading the Israelites? So which one looks more logical charge? Ilsa, being the Bible study leader, she said, after I said that, nobody's going to dare to challenge you. She said, number three. Looks more like number three, right? But I think all three were possible. Because do you know how God answered all these three challenges? Oh. Can you see? In the following verses, God actually answered all these three charges, possible charges. Did God only speak to Moses? Yes, in a way that the other prophets could not compare, because God clearly said that I will use dreams, visions to speak to the prophets, but I lips to lips talking to Moses. You know, so close to each other, they just lips to lips, you know, this talking about face to face. In Hebrew, meaning that, you know, like a spouse, you know, before you kiss, you know, you're talking like that. That close. Speaking. God spoke to Moses just like that, lips to lips, so close. That's why he said that, yes, I only spoke to him. But in that way, that's what he meant. And then the second charge, Moses was a very humble man, more than anyone else on the face of the earth. Verse 3, Numbers chapter 12, you see that was the description. Was he become prideful? No. God said no. He was not. And then the number three, he is faithful in all my house. That was the reason. Compared to the brother and the sister, Moses was faithful. And that was the reason God continued to use him, even though the journey was not over yet, but God already saw his attitude, his heart, and God believed that he was the most humble man on earth. So you see, this is what we need to learn. When we talk about faithfulness, we need to talk about humility, because when Moses came before God, he did not say anything against that charge that came upon him. He was silent. He bowed down. You know the story. If you look at Numbers chapter 12, how do we learn faithfulness? Just like Moses. Humility came before God. That's the first point I want you to see. Okay, second story, quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time because you guys are starting to get drowsy or something. Second point is found in Exodus chapter 32. Similar incident happened in the book of Numbers chapter 14. Both incidents talks about something like this. The people rebelled against God. They were very upset with no food, all those things, nothing to drink, and all this complaining. And the first one, Exodus chapter 32, actually talking about the Ten Commandments. Moses was up in the mountain, and they were having fun down the mountain, and they are building the craft. And Moses came, and the punishment came. And after all this, God told Moses, I'm not going to go with them. I want to destroy them now and start it with you. How's that? How do you like that offer? Will you take that offer? You know, these 2 million people or more really, really get me upset, God said. Maybe I just forget about them. Just drop them in Kolungla. You know, forget about them. You know, it's a winter time. Let them die. Forget them. You know, let me start with you. How's that? Calgary is still far away, so you still have time to produce, you know, make babies. What did Moses say? Oh, thank you, God. You know, what a wonderful offer. I've been waiting for this for so long. No, he didn't say that. In fact, he said something another way. He said, Don't do that, because if you do that, they all die in the valley, and it will be really smelly, even though it's a winter time. But everybody living close by will smell all these dead bodies and say, God, you are such a no-use God, because you could not carry them to the promised land. You fail. You see, Moses turned around and tried to what? Protect God. You see, being a servant of God is not just serving the Israelites. He needs to turn around to protect God for being so upset, making such a rush decision and say, let me destroy them. I have plenty of time, you know, the time of eternity, so don't worry about it. I can start all over again with you. How's that? Moses said, no, no, thank you, because being faithful, meaning what? You need to obey what God calls you to do continuously, even though temptation comes, difficult time comes. Even God gave you a better way to get out. Moses, stick on. God, don't do that. You call me to take them to the promised land. I will. Being faithful, not just being humble, but you have to be obedient. Last point I want to share with you. Look at verse 6. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 3 again, because the story did not end like that. Verse 6 is very important. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. If Moses could do that, being faithful, we can imagine, you know, how faithful Jesus was. And then verse 6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not hard to be obedient. It's not hard to be humble for a few months or for a few years, or in a good time, we are doing fine as long as there's no difficult times in our lives. We find our brothers and sisters are very faithful when things go well in their lives, in the church, but when something happens in their family, when something happens at their workplaces, when something happens in terms of relationship in the church, they just walk away. You see, verse 6 reminds us, Moses was not like that. He was holding on to the confidence and rejoicing in the hope. You see, our hope is like this phone cup. If you are sleeping, it's time to get up. You know, it's a hope, our hope. But it's very light. That will be gone. That's why the author said you have to hold on to it. You have to hold on to it. You need to put some substance in it. We'll make it better to stay in your hand. The confidence and the rejoicing in our hope. And I think it's very important. A lot of time you said that, oh yeah, I have hope, I believe in God, but it's very empty. Not enough substance. Or we are not holding on to it. That's why the author said, well, it's very good to be like Moses, but look at the life of Moses. He kept going. In difficult times, in the time that he was challenged by his own family members, that was really tough. He was holding on to the end. So verse 6, the author reminds us not just listening to the stories of Moses or just do the comparison, but I think verse 6 reminds us we need to hold on to it until the end in order to be called the house of God, you and I, be part of it. So brothers and sisters, there will be challenge, pains in life, just like Ilsa said, the book of Job. Christian, non-Christians, regardless of your age, your condition, suffering is part of our life. Tough times are coming. I can guarantee that. But your hope, this cup in your heart, is it very empty? Are you holding on to it? Otherwise, we would just being blown away. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for the book of Hebrews, trying to encourage brothers and sisters, believers that are in their journey. They have a second thought about being a Christian. With all kinds of reasons, excuses, they just want to walk away from this faith. They want to walk away from our Lord Jesus. That's why the author wrote this book and encouraged them and let them focus again on our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that as we continue to learn, as we walk this journey of Christian faith, Lord, we pray that also we will be found faithful just like Moses. We will never be like Jesus. We know that because he is the master of the house. But we do can learn, and we should learn to be the servant, just like Moses. Lord, we pray that we will be humble, we will be obedient. But Lord, the most important thing we need to learn is to continue to hold on to our faith, to hold on to our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the journey will be very tough. Lord, we pray that we will be encouraged. We will encourage one another as we walk this journey together. Sometimes we see our brothers and sisters stumble. They're in pain, they're crying, they hurt. Lord, we pray that we will support each other, encourage each other as we walk this journey together as a church. Lord, we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.